You're listening to Coffee at KYUK. Coffee at KYUK is where Petra Harpik and myself, Grady Deaton, invite a member of the community to come in and sit down and have coffee with us here at KYUK and talk about information relative to you, our neighbors, in the Kuskokwim Delta. Today, we'll be continuing our coverage of the river breakup. I'm sure that I have Joe DeMantle on the line from Tuluksac. Are you there, Joe?
Good morning.
Good morning. You're sitting with me and Mark Leary here in the studio. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, good morning, Joe. Good morning.
Good morning, Mark.
Well, let's kick right into that. How's the river conditions up near Tuluksac?
Currently, our water levels have dropped to like about 5.5 feet from how high it was at the highest yesterday, about 4 to 5 feet from cresting over the bank, about 10 p.m. the other night, water started backing up. That's when that big chunk of ice plugged up the mouth of the Tuluksac, and it was flowing in for over 12 hours. And about 10:30 last yesterday morning, it broke free on the main river, and water started backing out of the Tuluksac. So it still continues to go out, and overall, over the night, it dropped about 5 feet. So it's going down. It's not going down as fast as before, probably because of that jam in the mouth of the river.
How high did it get altogether?
Pardon?
How high did the water get in the village itself?
Oh, it was probably about 4 feet to get over the lowest part of the bank near the tanks over here.
Wow, Mark, have you been keeping up with the other river updates up and down the river?
Yeah, you know, Hawaii has volcanoes. The Kuskokwim has breakup. It's the most powerful thing we see each year. But I think it looks like the threat for this year is pretty much ending. We flew twice yesterday, Peter and I. First time we flew up to Kalskag just to make sure everything was okay up there. And, you know, we were so surprised to see that all that ice between Tuluksac and Kalskag was gone, except for what's hanging on the banks and the sandbars. But it was jammed there below Tuluksac by Undu's Island. So we went back up 6:30 last night to check on it. We've been getting reports from Joe and Nikolai and Willie and them, and then the Akiak people, what was passing their village. So we felt like it was releasing, at least a little of it. We took a quick spin down to the Johnson River before we headed up there, just to make sure that things were clear down that way. And as far as we could see, the Kuskokwim is clear all the way below Bethel, and the Johnson River was as clear as far in as we could see. The pilot said it was clear, except for the lake, Nunavakpak. Maybe Wilson can give us a call sometime and give us the Johnson River report. Then we went on up the river, and heavy ice run from Bethel on up. Kuskokwaxlu was pretty near full, and some ice was backing up in towards the children's home. So we were thinking, oh, that jam must have let loose. And then below Akiak, it started getting clear, very little ice. And then, oh, shucks, something's still holding. So we got up there, that jam was still holding at Undu's Island. It wasn't as nearly, it cut down in size by, you know, maybe half. But the good thing was the slough, where Undu's fish camp is along the east bank, was wide open, and the water was roaring through there. So that was a good release of the water pressure. Hopefully all that roaring current through there will clean out them sandbars in the lower end. I don't know. That was, it looked like the threat's pretty much winding down. One thing we were also glad to see, looked like the fish camps just about everywhere that we observed were staying dry. So I think people want to know that their fish camps look like they're okay.
Well, I'm sure Joe has already departed us, so we'll just want to thank Joe for being with us. If he's still with us, thanks for joining us, Joe, this morning. And thank you for coming in, Mark. It's a treat to see that smile that I can hear on the radio so often. We have another guest here on the line. I believe we have... before I do that, you know, the water at KKI rose 1.5 feet overnight. Peter Atchak just called in and let us know that the water, KKI, what is that?
Akachuk.
Akachuk? Rose 1.5 feet overnight, just letting everybody know that.
That was one thing I forgot to mention, was that the Akachuk Channel from right just above the village off the east end of the old runway was packed tight all the way up to the upper and the Kuskokwak. Was packed tight, that area.
So thanks for keeping us on track there, Peter. I have on the line, I believe, Shirley Moses. Are you with me, Shirley?
Yes, I am.
Good morning, Shirley. Good morning, Tammy, as well. Is Tammy with you?
Yes, sir, I sure am.
And for our listeners, I'm going to let them know, Shirley and Tammy are with Healing Native Hearts Coalition. The Healing Native Hearts Coalition has a very solemn mission, and that is to make sure that we're aware of missing and murdered Alaskan women. Is that right?
Yes.
Can you give us a little bit of information about your organization and about that event you have today?
We're a tribal domestic violence sexual assault coalition funded by Office Against Violence Against Women, and we serve our 43 villages here in the interior, but also do partner with other agencies. Tammy is actually with the Alaska Native Women's Resource Center, a statewide domestic violence sexual assault resource center. And we partner with Yupik Women's Coalition and Iwanak Women's Coalition and Tundra Women's Coalition and others. Our whole mission is to educate and to try to get the numbers of domestic violence sexual assault lowered. We're number one in the nation, which is horrendous. But we today are having a walk to honor our missing and murdered Indigenous women. And it was brought upon, it came about because about a year ago, Senator Daines from Montana sponsored a resolution in to honor a woman from the Northern Cheyenne tribe who had been murdered. Her birthday was May 5th, so that's the reason that they've chosen May 5th as the day for recognizing missing and murdered. But she was missing for about 5 years, and her remains were found, and authorities discovered that she'd been raped and murdered. And this is all too common in our nationwide and throughout Canada and in Alaska. And we felt as a coalition and as resource center that there wasn't enough focus on the missing and murdered, and that our women that go missing or are murdered, the focus hasn't been on them, and that we have a high rate of missing and murdered, and that we need to make that change. We need the shift in law enforcement to pay attention when our relatives or someone calls in about someone being missing. Don't, you know, wait, because the time between a call and action a lot of times will mean life and death for some of our women.
No doubt.
And that it's not okay.
Shirley, tell me that walk. When is that taking? It's taking place today. At what time?
At noon.
At noon, and where would that be?
In Fairbanks, and it's a local march. But we're encouraging tribes from throughout Alaska, and you know, to join our sisters and tribes throughout the country to walk and to hold some sort of vigil to honor those that are gone on, and you know, then the focus hasn't been on them. Our people need that closure, and they need action.
Tell me about the documentary film.
Okay. We got funding from Foundation, Seventh Generation, to bring a film crew up to Alaska, and we've been working with them for about a year. They're going to come up and get to know some of the people that have had relatives that have gone missing or have been murdered. And they want some people to tell their stories about what they've gone through and how much it has hurt them and their communities. And also, we want to use it as a tool so we can document the plight and help educate the tribes and law enforcement, the judicial system, that this has gone on for decades. This is not a new issue. We've
right.
had people missing for, you know, a lot of time. When we sat down about a year ago, about four or five of us were talking about the people we knew that were missing and murdered. And then we came up with about 30 to 40 people in less than 10 minutes.
Oh.
And that was just our little, you know, people that we knew in our area.
Shirley, are you soliciting interview subjects for this documentary film? Are you looking for people to tell their story? Is that what's going on?
Yes, it's people, you know, we're not reaching out, you know, and asking people. We feel that people have to be comfortable because it is a hard subject and we don't want to re-victimize people. But if a family member or someone that they would like to tell this story, you know, and be interviewed and be filmed, we would love to work with them. So,
how would they contact you?
You can call, well, they can email hnhcoalition@gmail.com or call us at 907-987-9934, myself.
And that was hnhcoalition@gmail.com?
Yes.
hnhcoalition@gmail.com or 907-987-9934 to find out information regarding becoming an interview subject or on that documentary film. I'm sorry, Shirley, just for a moment, I'm going to segue over to Wilson because he just called in. Wilson Twitchell's giving us an update on some river ice. Wilson, how are you doing there?
Hey, good morning. We're doing good over here. The river rivers are pretty much free of ice, except for the north section of Kasigluk. And the numerous lakes around here are still full of ice. And the water has been higher than normal in the previous years. Nothing to be concerned about, though.
Wilson, I want to thank you for calling in. I know you got the heads-up. Mark was giving a shout-out to you on the radio earlier asking you to give us a call. Mark's happy you called in. I'm happy you did, too. We're happy to get all the information we can.
Hey, good morning to Mark, and thank you for all the updates that we've been getting throughout the whole Kuskokwim River system.
Yeah, you too. Good morning, and thanks for all your help.
Hey, good morning. Likewise. Thank you.
All right, so I'm going to just let everyone know that after Coffee at KYUK, Mark and I are going to get Brett Gibbons on the phone. And Mark can tell you a little bit who Brett Gibbons is, but he'll be talking about his latest flight over the river and get an update up to McGrath, I believe. Tell me a little bit about Brett, please, Mark.
Oh, yeah. Glad to. That's going to be a real treat. Brett Gibbons grew up in Aniak, and now he's a wildlife trooper out of McGrath for quite a few years, I think. And he filled in the missing piece of river information that we never have each year that I can remember ever having. And he flew the river from McGrath to Aniak yesterday, and he's going to give us a report on that. But just to give you a hint, there's still ice holding from above Tatlewitsuk all the way to McGrath and maybe even beyond, you know, listening to Dan Esai talk. So, yeah, there's a big section of the Kuskokwim there still has ice to come down. And how it'll affect the middle and lower Kuskokwim River is always unknown, you know, always unknown. But for the people interested in wood, if there's going to be wood this year, good wood, that's probably where it'll come from. And I wanted to mention real quick about that, you know, first of all, driftwood is for the people all along the river. And I think some people perceive that Napaimute's firewood business goes after driftwood. No, we don't. That driftwood is for the people all along the river to help them. And, you know, we always talk about traditional values, but there's traditional values regarding the gathering of driftwood. And as years pass, I see some of those values forgotten. And I wanted to bring them up again, to remind people. First of all, when somebody ties up a log, you don't touch it. It doesn't matter if it stays there for a long time. I've heard people in prior years on talk line saying, I'm going to give people 1 week. If they don't get their logs, I'm going to take them. No way. No way. You don't know that person's situation. Maybe their motor broke. Maybe they're sick. Who knows? You don't touch a log that somebody tied up. Another way that people claim logs is if they're stranded, like they go dry on a sandbar or whatnot. If they cut the stump off, you don't touch it. One more thing about wood gathering. If there's wood that naturally floats in and gets stranded in front of somebody's fish camp or cabin, don't take it. Leave it for those people so when they go there, they have wood for their camp. So these are the things we were taught growing up, and I've been sad to see a lot of it forgotten. But hopefully there's going to be some wood coming down from the upper Kuskokwim, and people will be courteous to each other as they gather it.
Thank you for that. We'll be appending the rebroadcast of Coffee at KYUK with that update from Brett flying from McGrath today. And Shirley, I just didn't want to get. We have about 3 or 4 minutes, and I wanted to make sure you gave us a better idea of the scope of the problem. You mentioned that we were first in the nation, a solemn statistic, and then let me know any of your last words.
Sure. We're number one in the nation, on reservations in Alaska communities, Native women are murdered at the rate 10 times the national average, and 4 out of 5 Native women have experienced violence in their lives. In 2016, there are more than 5,700 known cases of missing and murdered Indigenous women reported to the National Crime Information Center. But due to unreported cases and misclassification of a lot of our missing and murdered, it's possible that the actual number is way higher. And in Alaska, just digging informally, we found over 300 missing and murdered cases since 1990 alone. Most of the women that have been reported missing haven't been actively investigated. Their cases are not receiving high priority by law enforcement investigators a lot of times. And a lot of our cases of missing and murdered women, the cases are shelved or become cold cases. We want that reversed. We want our cases actively investigated and our women to have closure or to bring them home. You know, that's our focus. And thank you for allowing us to come on, because nationwide they use a lot of internet and texting and tweeting. But in Alaska, we know our remote villages don't have access to that, or that's not the common mode for conveying these messages. And reaching out via radio is really important. And we do try to work closely with other, you know, areas in the state. One of our, the Alaska Native Women's Resource Center was recently in ACTIAC and did a training on domestic violence, sexual assault. And they also talked about missing and murdered. So, and we work with Yupik women. But some of the things that are sweeping the nation is silence no more. We want this, you know, word to get out and honor our sisters that have, you know, been murdered or are missing. Invisible no more. We want this to be out in front and, you know, to be recognized as a epidemic.
Thank you for joining us today to help us spread that word. Let me just briefly give everyone your contact information again. That's hnhcoalition@gmail.com or 907-987-9934 to contact Shirley Moses from the Healing Native Hearts Coalition. Whether you want to tell your story or find out more about how you can have laws changed or just information in general about how you might have help for your village, contact Shirley. Thanks a lot for joining us, Shirley. We're out of time. You're on Coffee at KYUK, where we invite a member of the community and indeed others to come in and talk about information relative to you and the rest of the Delta. Stay tuned for a special rebroadcast after our 12:30 rebroadcast with that McGrath River update, we promise. And don't forget to be awesome to each other. So I have a special report from Mark Leary and Brett Gibbons. Brett Gibbons called in. Mark Leary's in the studio. We're going to talk about the McGrath River. Talk to me about the up the river toward McGrath, please, Brett.
Okay, I flew it yesterday in the afternoon all the way from Aniak up to about halfway between McGrath and Nicolai, and then again this morning closer to McGrath within about a 20-mile radius of McGrath. As of yesterday, from just above the Tatlowixuck all the way to McGrath, or well above McGrath, probably 20 miles above McGrath, all the ice was pretty intact, just starting in a few places to break apart, like between Sterling Landing and McGrath. There was a few spots starting to break apart a little bit in the afternoon, and the water levels coming up a bit. And then last night at probably 9 o'clock, the main ice right in front of town in McGrath did start moving, and it got stuck about a mile below town in a real common jamming location. There's a narrow point and a sharp bend, what they call Father's Day Slough. It's currently stopped right there, and we have about a one-mile void of ice right in front of town here. The water level isn't really coming up all that much, though, and then above town here, we've got a couple miles of unbroken ice, and then another several miles that the ice has already broken up, and it must be going underneath because it's just gone. And the ice appears pretty thin. It's just breaking apart and crushing up. So I don't think we'll be sending, you know, big dangerous ice downstream like some years. We are supposed to get pretty hot temperatures today, and the snow pack in the hills around McGrath, as well as even more so up in the Alaska Range, the snowpack is definitely higher than it has been for several years. So if we have several nights in a row that don't freeze here, and we get these warm afternoons, I think we're going to see a real big push of water. A couple of the elders around here have said, you know, maybe even like a 12-foot fluctuation within 24, 48 hours, which we do get up here since we're so close to the mountains. So we are expecting a bunch of water, but right now the water levels are pretty reasonable. You know, it's backing up into the willows on the willow bars and things like that, but it's not over the high banks.
Okay, yeah. Oh, man, Brett, that was very good. It's such a treat to have you on the radio this morning. That's always the unknown up there. Every year, my whole life, nobody knows what's going on up above Stony, you know, between Stony and McGrath. And you just filled in the missing piece of the puzzle, and I hope we can keep doing this every year.
We need to, yeah.
Yeah, that's a long stretch. That must be pretty close to maybe a little more than 100 river miles from Tatlowitzuck to McGrath, huh?
It is for sure, yeah. And funny thing, I did see a boat yesterday going by Stony, headed upriver, and I was wondering how far do they think they're going to get. That was when I was on my way downstream, and I came back a couple hours later, and they're idling around right below that ice edge up by the Tat. So, yeah, people are ready to start traveling, but not quite yet up here.
Yeah, yeah, we're just as bad everywhere along the river. We can't wait to go.
Yeah.
So yeah, and people are hoping that upper Kuskokwim ice brings some wood down, because there hasn't the middle Kuskokwim didn't bring any down, so we're going to be keeping an eye on that.
It will right after. We have so much snow, we're going to get such a big water push. I think it's going to be a good year for logging, but it might be in a couple of weeks.
Mm.
You know, by the time you guys see them, when we get this big push.
Okay. All right.
All right. Well, I want to thank both of you for being here with us today, Mark and Brett Gibbons and Mark Leary, part of the all of the people giving us river updates, making excellent radio here on Coffee at KYUK. Thanks a lot, Brett. Mark has one more thing.
Yeah, this will be my last river report. You know, I've been in the air a lot. It's time to get back out on the river, and God willing, I'll report in when it starts freezing again. But Brett, it'd be good if you kept calling down here and letting us know.
Yeah, at least for the next couple of days while we still got action. Okay, well, thank you guys for having me.
Thank you, Brett. Brett, we'll be in touch with Petra. Will be in touch to get you on air tomorrow. We're looking forward to it, and we're not going to let Mark get too far because we like to hear his smile on the radio. Thanks a lot for both of you being
right
in today.
Okay, you guys have a great day. Thank you.